Before I begin this morning, why don't we pause for a few moments of silent prayer. Have you ever had a song stuck in your head before? Happens a lot, doesn't it? There's a name for this. It's called an earworm. Earworm. Doesn't sound good, does it? Every time I get earworm, I think Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, but I won't even get into that. There's a variety of theories about why it happens. And so I did a little research and read an article in the Harvard Medical School Review, and it tells us a little bit about this. It says, when music psychologist Kelly Jakubowski and her colleagues studied why earworms happen, they found that these songs were faster and more melodic in their contour. The pitch rose and fell in certain ways that made them easier to sing. That's one reason they catch us, is because they follow this kind of tried and true pattern. So is it possible that hit songs that get stuck in our head are actually more a matter of science than they are just artistic expression? Don't answer that. One of the songs that people find in the research that is quoted by Harvard is the song by Journey, Don't Stop Believin'. Once you listen to that song, it can just get stuck in your head. And how do you get rid of it? How do you get rid of an earworm? Well, there are some people who say that you need to listen to a different piece of music to get rid of it. And one of the most common pieces of music that the researchers found to be effective is My Country, Tis of Thee. Or if you're English, God Save the King. The other song that they found most effective, I'm glad you're sitting down for it, Karma Chameleon by Culture Club. So if you ever find yourself stuck with an earworm, go to one of those two songs and that might get rid of it. But research also demonstrates that the best way to get rid of an earworm is whatever song is in your head, listen to it in its entirety from beginning to end, because sometimes the brain is searching for closure. And so if by listening to the song to its ending, you're good, unless it's a 1980s song, which never end, they just fade out and just disappear, all right? Now, all that being said, I want to talk about the things that get stuck in us, like an earworm, but perhaps something a little bit different. Maybe what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 3, the very last verse that Pastor Bonnie read a moment ago, said this: whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. That sounds like a spiritual sort of earworm, a way in which our whole life is constantly framed by Jesus, for Jesus, and with Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, that's very specific, isn't it? Well, how is it we do that? How is it we can begin to move into a life that captures that way of living, that everything we do in word or deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the art of holy living. And today we're going to turn the page from where we were last week to talk about how we live into that this week. And because I'm talking about earworms today and songs that get stuck in your head, we're going to sing in this sermon a lot. Notice I said we're going to sing a lot in this sermon, because I, along with Pastor Bonnie, do not feel like doing a solo this morning. Amen? Amen. The first thing we hear in this passage in Colossians chapter 3 is this: to cultivate your soft skills. Cultivate your soft skills. What does it say in Colossians 3:12? It says this: so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of, here they come, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And in two more verses, Paul's going to add a sixth word to that list: love. These are soft skills. Usually when we talk about the skills we need to gain as Christians, we talk about hard skills, like learning the Bible, learning some theology, gaining some information about something, learning something new. It's very cognitively oriented. It's like head stuff. And what Paul is saying here is that we need to think about soft skills, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. For example, if I were trying to hire someone for a job, I look at the resume and I see all the skills that they have, but the skill I'm really after are soft skills. I wish someone would put on their resume, "I am low drama." That's the person I want to hire. Low drama. That's a soft skill, not a hard skill. What we find is that we can teach people hard skills, but soft skills, well, most of us treat soft skills with little too attention. And the reason we do is because we think soft skills should just come to us naturally. They should just happen to us passively. And what we've done is we've made a mistake of thinking that hard skills or knowledge skills are the ones we need to dedicate and invest our time in. But soft skills should just happen. Shouldn't I just become more compassionate? The apostle is clear about this in Colossians chapter 3. He says that we are to put on a heart of, and then all these words. Put on soft skills. That means it requires intentionality. So when we're talking about these means of grace, they don't happen accidentally. They happen intentionally. We put it on. By the way, the Greek word for garment, he says put on like a garment. The Greek word for garment, trivia for the day, harmartion. I need to put my harmartion. Now you know the word for garment in Greek. Aren't you thankful? Lord, have I been with them so long? All I want you to hear is the soft skills is that these don't happen automatically. So that if you want to deepen your soft skills, compassion, kindness, goodness, it requires intentionality. You have to put it on. It's an active sort of act. And these are the characteristics that we want governing our life, are they not? Don't we want to be people who are known for compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love? Of course we are. There are moments in which I need to experience these things, and there's a practice that I keep that helps me do that. And one of the practices I keep is very simple. It's being near water, as in a body of water. And so whenever I kind of need to get centered in these soft skills, when I'm feeling very kind of impatient or impulsive, even kind of leaning into a little too much anger in my life, if I make the conscious choice to go sit by a body of water and there say to God, "Lord, I need a grace from you in this moment. I need a new kind of grace from you that I don't have right now." Now, for many of you, this kind of soft skill cultivation comes through music. And so today, in keeping with the theme of earworms, we're going to sing a song, one you probably know, Amazing Grace. But this time when you sing it, I want you to sing it as a form of prayer. Please try not to sing it as a form of proclamation. Sing it as a form of prayer. In other words, an expression of your heart to God. So let's sing a few verses together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Loretta. Paul goes on in the next verse in Colossians 3:13, and he helps us understand why those soft skills are needed. Why is it we have to put on the soft skills? So let's hear the next verse. Why do we need to do that? Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. In addition to all these things, here's the, see it again, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We need to put the commune in community. Now, part of that means is that we have to recognize that our work together is bearing with one another. That literally means to bear each other's burdens. It can also be translated put up with each other, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Part of being together in a church is learning how to relate to each other and be together, and our way of doing this is actually different from other people. With other people, when there's a pretty significant disagreement where there may be emotions shared or exchanged, oftentimes relationships break and end. And right now, our culture is quite used to that, isn't it? Just used to just cutting off relationships, cutting off people, cutting off folks who think differently than we do, opinions different than we have. We simply say, well, I'm just not going to engage with those folks. I'm going to engage with people who are just like me. Yeah, and there's our problem. The way in which we're called to live is to bear with one another, forgiving each other. What Paul here describes is a way of being that applies the soft skills we just learned. Kindness, gentleness, all those things we read about in the first verse of this passage. Now we get to apply them with each other. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the exception of our community. They're to be in the norm of our community. And so our relationships with one another and those close to us are the places where we get to practice this. So we get to practice reconciliation here in our relationships within the life of the church, so that when we're out in the world, where we work, where we live, where we play, we're living in the same way. Just that unusual mark of being a reconciling and forgiving person, wow, that's unique in today's world. If that became our way of life, we'd really stand out. People would ask us, why are you so forgiving? Why are you so kind? Why are you so generous to people? And then we get to name the Lord Jesus. Paul tells us in Colossians 3:15 this, let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts and be thankful. You see why he says the peace of Christ ruling within you? Because we've borne with one another. We forgive each other, all based on the soft skills that we developed intentionally. We practiced them. To be community like this means practice, because most of us have just spent 6 days and 23 hours getting beat up with this, or beating up people with this. And so this is our moment to kind of center ourselves in that. About a week before I had my surgery, back at the beginning of January, I spent about 15 minutes every day listening to the music from the Taizé community in France. It was a wonderful way to center myself. It was a deliberate, active discipline I took on so I could experience the peace and grace of God in that moment, so that during that week before, I wouldn't let the emotion of what I was going through kind of come out in ways that were cruel to other people, where I might be hurtful. I wanted to center myself. So Scott's going to come now, and we're going to sing a few verses of a well-known Taizé chorus quite a few times. It's called In the Lord. And so I'll invite us to sing it again as music of prayer. Been a long time, I think, in our church since we sang one of these choruses together. And so today, let's practice. Scott?
So I'll sing through the tune once for you, then please join me join me for one repetition, and I'll have just a little bit more to say after that as we learn that. So I believe we have it on the screen for you. So, F, please. Excuse me. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. So now as we sing in repetition, remember that the idea is to be in community of spirit and moving towards meditation. It need not be perfect. With each repetition, we'll acquire a little bit more. And if after a couple of times through, if you would like to try some of the harmony parts, please feel free to do so. It doesn't need to be perfect. And it doesn't necessarily have to be what is committed. Just follow where your ear takes you.
The last word Paul has for us in verse 16 is this: let the word of Christ dwell within you richly with all teaching and admonishing one another. When we think of teaching and admonishing one another, we think of it as verbal or written instruction. This is not what Paul means when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Listen carefully to the translation. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The church in Colossae apparently learned by singing. They taught one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Not by just dialogue or listening to somebody talk, but by singing. This is why we're doing a little more singing today than normal. And this leads us to a life that is filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. Again, two behaviors that are sorely absent within the world today. Being a billionaire today looks a lot different than being a billionaire 100 years ago. 100 years ago, the ruthless corporate mercenary, Andrew Carnegie, built a company called U.S. Steel. And after doing so and amassing a huge amount of wealth at the end of the 19th century, he wrote a book in 1889 called The Gospel of Wealth. And it was basically the way he was going to find his way out of the trap he had built for himself as a ruthless businessman. What Carnegie did was, well, unheard of. He decided to build libraries in the United States and in Scotland, his homeland, from where he was an immigrant. In the last 20 years of his life, he built 3,000 libraries that he personally paid for around the world. His biographer called him a ruthless businessman whose philanthropy attempted to undo that. The sense of gratitude and thanksgiving, when it pours out of people, the way we see gratitude and thanksgiving, it's a thing called generosity. That's what it looks like. In our own day, it looks a little different. Now, for example, Lauren Powell Jobs, who's the widow of Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple Computer, she's funding entrepreneurial efforts of women across the United States to the tune of well over $2 billion a year. Mackenzie Scott, who is the former wife of Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, just 2 weeks ago you may have read in the Seattle Times that she's given away $560 million to fund nonprofits. Gratitude and thanksgiving are revealed in generosity. And without generosity, there's likely little gratitude and little thanksgiving. What does Paul say? That we sing how? They sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in their hearts. Well, Lisa, why don't you come on up with the band as they get ready to go? I want us to focus and dwell on these words just for a minute, that there's a way in which we learn things through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we learn them in a way that we're not necessarily accustomed to. So today, the band is going to start their set, as we call it, at the end of the sermon. And so they're going to sing and lead us in a song, and then we'll share in a prayer for Holy Communion. We'll sing another song during communion, then we'll have one song to close our time together in worship. And so this song, I just want you to be seated. You may not be as familiar with this song as some of the other two songs we're going to sing in a moment. And I'm glad that Lisa chose this particular song because, number one, it's a teaching song. Number two, the fact that you may not be as familiar with it means that you're going to have to lean into it just a little bit more. Lisa, why don't you lead us?
It all comes down to this, what you require of me. Love my neighbor as myself, and you above all things. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things, and always walk humbly with you, God. It all comes down to be your hands and feet, good news to all the world, the truth will set us free. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things. now we'll see the fruit our hands have sown, and faith just like a seed, the only way it grows. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you.
To learn, isn't it? From the prophet Micah, we hear his words set to modern song. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. That last one, spiritual songs, scholars think that those are simply songs made up of music people knew, that they simply made them up within the communities in which they found themselves, that the Colossians made up some songs and they sang them, and this was their expression of worship to God. Listen to what Paul says, that earworm, that spiritual earworm in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. The art of holy living means that we live in a constant state of gratitude and thanksgiving. Then our senses might be open to all the ways God is speaking. Sound of the surf, maybe the wind in the mountains, the hug of a friend, gazing at art, reading for enrichment, even listening to a little bit of music. But if you do those things, do them with intent. They are not accidents. They require us to put on every day so that we might see the grace of God in them. You pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you speak and move in our midst, and even how you speak to us in simple elements like bread and cup. We're so thankful, God, for what you have done for us. We remember the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us. After he took the bread, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, the Lord Jesus took the cup. After he returned thanks to you, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So God, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. We give you thanks now and always in the mighty name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.